everybody. Welcome back to Life of Pi. This is episode 5, and we are doing something a little different today because I'm kicking things off, especially since I think it's appropriate, since Sean, you went back and talked to your mom for today's episode. How'd that go?
Not bad. I mean, you know, it was weird when you're going to talk to your mom and then other people are going to hear it. So they're going to hear your conversation with your mom. But it also seemed relevant, though, because she's, you know, a part of my show, Life of Pi. It has to do with my childhood. And, well, she was there for all of it.
Yeah, your origin story.
Yeah.
She was a big influence.
Buckle up.
Right. And then also, I understand that you do have an update for Life of Pi because you just
the
added,
show.
Yeah, for the show, you added a new director to the team.
Yeah, so for Edinburgh,
right,
the show that we're doing for The Fringe now has a new director, and it's Michael McLarnon.
So. Yay, Michael McLarnon, and he was your first guest on the podcast, Life of Pi.
True, and he's the one who also coined the name of the show, Life of Pi.
Before. So you like to bring things full circle?
Yeah, or I need
like
more
a
friends.
Pizza, or you need more friends. Maybe a little bit of both. I don't know. One can never have too many friends. And then also, in other pizza world news, I understand there's been a new development there as well.
Well, I guess a lot of the talk in the pizza world right now is about the bromated flour.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been sort of banned. There's some... In California, it's banned. In all of EU, it's banned. But in the United States in general, like, it's not banned. It's
right. Is it banned in those places?
Well, because if given in very high doses to rats or mice, uh-huh. lab rats, then it's shown to cause some cancer. But from what I understand, it's bromated flour. It's something that, like, bakers have just been using forever, especially here in New York, for
bagels.
What
are they using it for?
Well, they use it to condition the dough. Okay. So if you put it in there, it helps with the gluten. And in general, it all cooks off during the baking process. Only when it's like not fully cooked off does that, you know, what is it called? Potassium bromate. That's the thing that would be the chemical that would be possibly carcinogenic. But still, I mean, it shouldn't be something to alarm people.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime something gets in the news, then it's alarming. I wouldn't feel like, oh my goodness, I've eaten too many pizzas and I haven't checked this. I'm screwed. Instead, just be like, well, it's something to be aware of that, you know, if given in very large doses and it isn't fully baked off, then I guess there's a possibility that if you were a rat, you might develop a little bit of cancer.
Somebody alert Pizza Rat. I think Pizza Rat needs to know, maybe, but everybody else should be okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I think, you know, as with anything else, you can always have too much of a good thing, or, like, you know, everything within reason. Moderation mm-hmm. is key. So, you know, just a moderate amount of bromated flour, then we should all be okay.
Also, it's one of those things you find out later that it's like, oh, if I go organic, then I don't have to worry about this. Yes, that's true. If I go to Europe, I don't have to worry about this. Correct. Yeah. So it's only because it's something that we've used in the United States for a very long time.
It's just because it increases production. Is that what it does?
Speed,
which, like,
you know,
yeah,
like
right. Which is what we're all about here, is increasing production and
and
profits. So, well, you know, whatever, just the pizza industry is going to have to slow down a little bit, I guess.
I feel like the pizza industry is got the right attitude on this, which is like, let's try to find a way to do it better without that particular chemical.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're really dependent on a chemical, then it's like, well, that's chemical dependency.
Right. Can we become less chemical dependent?
Yeah.
Good food for thought, Sean.
Good pun.
Shall we move on to the sauce portion of the podcast? Okay.
And here's my conversation with my mom. So joining me now is none other than my mother, Kitsy Taylor. Hello, Kitsy.
Hi, Sean. Nice to talk to you.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you, my mom, on this podcast is because I think people wonder, I'm so obsessed with pizza, like, why is it? And to be frank, both of my parents love pizza. Isn't that true?
I can speak for this side of your parents. Yes, I do, very much so. And I like to eat it. I like to go to pizza places, and I like to make it at home.
What was your pizza cognition, like your first memories of pizza?
I remember growing up in Maryland, the suburbs of Washington, that I was Catholic, and every Friday we would have to not have meat. That was what Catholics gave up every Friday. So Friday we would either have grilled cheese sandwiches or fish or pizza. Those were pretty much the three choices for Fridays. And so pizza was about every third Friday at least. And our pizzas were the rectangular shape.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents always put sausage and extra cheese on it. That's all we ever had, sausage, extra cheese. And I discovered the joy of things like peppers and onions later, and I'm glad I did. And pepperoni, I discovered all that later in life.
Do you recall what was your favorite, like your first pizzeria, or the name of it?
I think there was takeout that came from different places that I don't remember because it was small. But I remember going to this place called Lido's in Langley Park, Maryland. It was kind of halfway between Washington, D.C. and the University of Maryland. It kind of sat in the middle there, Langley Park, it was called. And they had a Lido there, and that's where we would either go in and eat or take out from there. And they did come up with those rectangular pizzas, too. The round pizzas were kind of like later.
Yeah, well, Lido's is a huge brand now. They've franchised out a bunch of different locations, and there's even one of them. I think most of them are around Maryland area and D.C., but there's one now here in New York City that Robin and I.
Oh.
Yeah, we like to order from there too because they use smoked provolone instead of mozzarella, which is
All the times I've gone up to visit you, we've never done that.
It's new. So you haven't come in a while, but the Lido's opened up just recently, but it's in Midtown. So we're in their delivery area.
Great.
And it is definitely an interesting new take on pizza. Like it's hard for a place that isn't a New York style pizza to come into New York and hang in there. But I think that Lido's has been doing it. You mentioned that your parents, also liked pizza. So how far back does this pizza fascination go?
I just don't remember not eating pizza at some point. It was one of the regular diet. But I can tell you that my mother never had pizza until she met my father. And they met each other in Washington, D.C. before and during the World War II. She was raised in Laramie, Wyoming. And she got on a train when she finished college. She was like 16 because they used to let you skip a grade if you got good grades or whatever. She went on the train and went to Washington, D.C. for a government job. And she lived there and lived in a rooming house, and that's where she met my dad. So when he was talking about things, he wanted to take her up to Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is where he was from. And he said, we're going to have pizza up there because they didn't have it except I think. I don't even know if Lido's was there, but he said, we're going to have pizza. It's really good. And he had to explain to her what pizza was. It was that new and she'd never heard of it. And his explanation was, she told, he said, it's like got this bread on the bottom and then tomato sauce and then there's cheese. And it sounded just awful to me. And so I was pleasantly surprised when we finally got to Scranton and we had real pizza that it actually was very delicious. So I guess if you describe pizza to someone who's never had it before, it may not sound as good as it really is.
I recently found out that there is a pizza style called Old Forge, which is from Pennsylvania.
And what is it?
It was a type of pizza that they would serve to workers that would go into the mines, you know?
How is it different steel workers from what we think?
They still have it to this day. So apparently there are like Italian immigrants that would make it. It has like American cheese on it, a little bit of mozzarella. Oh. It's square, it's puffy, and it has a little bit of sauce, but it kind of tastes like a grilled cheese with some tomato sauce. Yeah, but the thing
so
is,
it doesn't sound very Italian then tasting, right?
I guess not, but you know, you're like these would be the like it was something that people could afford because they were going into the mines and they all look forward to it, and it's become like a huge hit around the area.
Oh,
as a
wow.
matter of fact, yeah, Old Forge, I think the population of the town is like 10,000, and yet they have 15 like really heavily populated pizzerias that people come from all of the neighborhood, all the neighboring areas.
I'm going to look that up. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that's what, you know, my grandpa, your dad, was raised on. It's, you know, it's not too far from Scranton.
My parents, as far as I know, I don't recall them ever making pizza at home. It was only something they took out, that they bought outside. They never tried to make it at home, if that's interesting.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, I didn't start making pizza until I started working at Pizza Hut. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Is that your first job?
Yeah, that was my first real job, because I don't think that tutoring for underprivileged kids counts as a job.
Well, they paid you. Remember that family gave you $10 check every time? I thought that was pretty good pay for someone in the ninth grade, or what were you?
Yeah, yeah.
You were pretty young, and I thought that was good pay for your age.
Yeah, well, it was. So I guess math tutor, I guess, was my first job, but this one was my first real job, where you know, I was where taxes were taken out and you know, forms were filled out, and I could afford to put gas in the car.
That's nice, though. And I mean, you went from pizza place to pizza place for your jobs.
Yep. Yeah. Right? I worked at Pizza Hut.
Why did you leave? Why did you leave one? Why didn't you just stay at the same one for years?
Well, I went to college. So I was working at Pizza Hut until I went to college.
It was just the summer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I came back, and where I had left that job, where I had left Pizza Hut, the next year I was looking forward to working at a different place, because did I ever tell you that the manager held a knife up to me one time when around closing time?
No, you didn't tell me this.
I realized
why didn't you?
You know, I think I had like tucked it back in my head too, because it was like, I just was happy I survived, because it was like this situation where I was closing.
The manager was a kid too, right? Just an older kid.
Yeah, I mean, I would look at him now as a kid, but like at the time, he seemed like, you know, he was a lot older. He was, I know, he wanted to be a firefighter or a marine or something. And
great.
Yeah. No, like, but it was like, and
why did he hold a knife on you?
Well, why did he have a big knife? A, and then B, why did he think that it was a interesting move or correct move to like hold it up towards me and like corner me? I was behind the make table and behind the oven, and I was
what
like,
"What was he threatening you for?"
I don't know what it is I said that set him off, but it definitely, like, it was like I could. It was scary to like look in someone's eye who has a knife like pointed towards you, and it's like, I don't have any way out. We're the only two in this Pizza Hut, and as you recall, remember when we moved to Valrico, Florida, in Brandon, there was that Pizza Hut that there was the people that were found in the. In the
yes, there was a murder.
Walk-in
a woman
freezer.
Was murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
that
oh
was
no,
the
is,
pizza
this
hut?
Is this the Pizza Hut curse or something? I don't know. But then I just kind of like laughed it off a couple of times, and I was like, haha, that's really funny, you know, manager, really funny, you know, and then eventually, he like was like almost like snapped out of it, and then like. Was like, yeah, and he kind of like laughed and then turned away, and I was like, oh man, that is scary. But I was scared enough about it to where I don't even think I told you about it, obviously. And you know, you might have
right, you didn't. I would never have let you go back there, for heaven's sake. I would have called the police.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
an assault. That's
but
an assault.
I think that was one of those reasons why I didn't go back to that Pizza Hut the next year after. So I instead went to Papa John's. And then eventually another summer I went to, I delivered pizzas for Hungry Howie's.
Well, I remember the time when you brought home about 25 or 30 pieces. No, pizzas. You brought that 11 boxes of pizzas or something that were rejects that nobody picked them up that night. And you brought all these pizzas home. And I thought, wow. And we just put them in our... And we had pizza for a snack for the longest time.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I remember that was like someone like didn't, they were going to throw them out. Like it was like, oh, well, then no one came to pick up these orders. Like, oh, don't throw them out. You know, I got room in my car.
That was amazing. That was like Christmas.
Yeah.
All those pizzas. Yeah.
So we were raised Mormon in our family. And
sort of.
You were raised Catholic, Irish Catholic, but then you converted to marry my dad, correct?
Right. Well, I didn't to marry. We got married in started later, but there was a kind of an understanding that I would convert at some point. Yeah. And I did.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that.
So was there something that was appealing about it, or that you're like, oh, I want
to. I liked his family, and most all the Mormons I met, I liked. And I thought it seemed nice, and I really enjoyed when your kids were small, going to Mormon church. They had so many activities for the kids to do. Sunday school and primary and scouting.
Cub Scouts, yeah.
They had so many things to do, and I really enjoyed it. Focused on how do you raise your kids and what do you do for your kids. It really helped me a lot as a new mother, and continuing on as a mother. It was, I have nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we went to church every single Sunday, and my favorite memory of like where we lived, since we were a military family and we moved around a lot, was when we were in San Bernardino, California. Did you like San Bernardino?
I did. I mean, I thought it was really nice. It has that beautiful California weather. So, yeah, I liked it. And you kids were in elementary school right across the street. And I taught at the junior high on the other, about a block away, the other direction. Yeah.
While we were there, that's kind of like where I think I had my pizza cognition, at Maxwell Street Pizza. Do you recall Maxwell Street Pizza?
Yeah, that was a pizza place that we would take you kids to. That was one of the restaurant types places we felt we could afford to take four kids, and you didn't have to sit too quietly there because they had little games and things going on, and pitchers of soda, and it's kind of cheap, and it was a good place for a family.
I loved it. Do you remember the time where Jay and I took tips off of the table? Thinking
I didn't know about that till years later. I did not know you were
so
doing
Jay
that.
Told me
that.
That they were, my older brother told me that when people put dollars down on the table, that's for kids to go use in the arcade.
For the machine. How nice these people were to you.
It worked.
Oh, that's just, it makes me sad.
It worked exactly zero times, because I went to do it for the first time, and I had, you know, I wasn't trying to be secretive. I was just like appreciative. I was like, oh, great. I'll just take this and bring it over. And as soon as I picked it up, the server like hopped right on me. It was like, whoa, 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 what are you doing with that money? Like, I'm going to go play video games.
Wow. So you got caught right away?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know if my older brother was caught right away. He's probably.
Well, your dad and I were so cheap. I think we gave you each one quarter or something and said, have fun, right?
Yeah.
We were not big on those types of expenses. Yeah. But yeah, that's not right. But there are people that take tips off the table, and I think the servers deserve them.
Do you remember the night where I was chewing the big wad of gum?
I don't remember that either. I think I'm glad I forgot. It sounds pretty gross.
Yeah. So what's pretty gross is the fact that
your brother,
I was
he was devious. Yeah.
Okay, well, he was not responsible for this one. This was just my own.
Oh, he wasn't?
Well, he
didn't tell you that?
I was squirreling around underneath the table, and I realized that there was this big repository of gum that was just right there for the taking. So I was like, oh, well, I'll pick the grape gum because it's still got some flavor in it. And that's when Dad was like, hey, Sean, where did you get that gum? I was like, oh, it's underneath the table.
What did he say? I bet he wasn't happy.
Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah,
that.
He grosses out pretty easy.
Well, that's pretty gross. I think that like I'm grossed out even all these years later.
But yeah, well, that just show what kids will do.
Well, then after we were in San Bernardino and you were working at the junior high, Dad got stationed over to Izmir, Turkey. Do you recall that?
Yeah. Of course, you guys, we got a transfer to Turkey, and we got ready to go. And it was the middle of the school year, and I said, well, I'll finish this semester and stay here with the girls, and then we'll join you at the end of the semester. And so you boys, you and your brother and your dad went over first, and then we met you back there later, right?
Yeah. Do you remember the night before we left?
Oh, the night before you all were leaving and the girls and I were staying at the house, you wanted to spend the night in the car.
Yeah, in the Bronco too.
Yeah, and I think it was the van that got vandalized, right?
How appropriate. Oh,
Yeah.
but a van vandalized. But
I mean, anyway, you were sleeping there, and the next came out, there was all this ketchup and mustard had been sprayed, and it said on the side, "You die, bitch." Do you remember
yeah.
And it had to mean me. It had to mean me because the junior high girl lived across the street from us, and I didn't like her. And her name was Stephanie something. I remember that. Anyway,
Well, they
so
did
I'm
vandalize a
sure it
little bit,
was.
I think, on the Bronco too as well. But I think then they realized, oh, there's a kid in here.
I
So
don't know. Anyway,
it's
they
like
didn't bother them much that you were there because they continued on what they were doing and toilet paper and everything. So we had to clean that out. Then you guys left in the car to drive. And wait a minute. And you were driving all the way
yeah, we drove.
to New Jersey?
Yeah, we drove
Yeah.
all the way across the country.
That's a long trip with your dad, huh? How was
Well, I don't recall the exact, every mile, every minute of it, but we eventually did get to Izmir, Turkey. But then anytime he had to go away for like temporary duty assignment or TDY, we would be left with
The
another Mormon family that
Right,
like
but there
had.
was one in our apartment, but then the Hendricks lived in Alsenjack down by the school, right?
Right. And when we were staying with the Hendricks, they had seven kids. So we were just two more mouths to feed. But then, but they also were a little more Mormon than we were.
Yeah, all of those Mormons were more Mormon than we were. Yeah,
Right. I
I
try
was
to tell
noticing
people
that.
this, that we were actually like renegades when it came to Mormonism, right?
Yeah,
Because
we didn't fit in. I
we
don't know
drank
why.
soda.
Oh yeah, we drank soda. That was one thing. And
We also only had
your
four,
dad
you had
wasn't
four
like
kids, right? Which is a
that.
huge family for everyone else, but for in the Mormon religion, that's a pretty small family. People
It's
are
like, what's wrong with you?
like, oh.
What were you gospel or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know. I don't know. We were fading in the church as you kids got older, but when you were small, we really did a lot of things. But as you got older, we got farther away. We did.
Yeah, although once Dad would go on a temporary duty assignment, we would stay at this other Mormon family, which was a little more religious, and they like,
What
prayers
were they
before
doing?
every meal
Oh,
and after,
wow.
at the end of the night. And then every morning there was morning calisthenics where
Oh,
everyone
that's
would get
right.
up and do like stretches and before the day began. And now that I'm older, I recognize that that's probably a really good way to live your life and I should be doing it,
Right.
but as a kid, you're just like, I would like to be sleeping now in this
Right.
home that is not mine and with all these
Yeah,
people that I don't know.
they ran a tight ship. I re yeah. So
So
we want to
the,
talk about pizza over in Turkey?
yeah, what was the, do you remember the situation of pizza
I
over in Turkey?
just remember that the pizza place was called Pizza Hat instead of Pizza Hut, and it had a drawing that kind of looked like a pizza, but then it kind of looked like a hat. And I only remember going there once. I think you all went with your dad many times before I got there, but I went there once and really didn't like the taste of it.
Yeah.
The sauce, something was off, right? The tomato sauce wasn't Italian, or it just wasn't right.
Yeah, it was like they were
Yeah.
using pasta sauce. Well, actually, they didn't have any sauce unless you ordered it, and then they would bring you ketchup. That was
Or
something that
plain
was not.
made sauce. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also I
Yeah,
think
or
they were
else maybe.
trying to like do the aesthetically look like American pizza, so it didn't taste like it, but it looked like it. Because remember, in that time in the 80s in Turkey, they were doing knockoffs, so like they didn't have a McDonald's in Izmir, Turkey, which was the golden arches, in the M. Instead, they
Yeah.
had a golden arch of the A in
Oh.
Osburger, and that was spelled
Okay.
A-S
Iceberger.
burger.
Okay.
Not the most appetizing thing you want to put in your mouth.
Like
Asperger.
Asperger syndrome. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
Yeah. So this, th yeah. So it's like for 2 years we were without pizza, kind of.
exactly. Without pizza and a lot of other things without. I was really happy to leave there.
Well, you
I
remember our
never felt
last
really
day
safe.
before we were leaving is we had to spend the night in Istanbul, right? Because it was a
Yeah.
layover from Izmir to Istanbul. And then while we were in Istanbul, we were in the shadow of the Blue Mosque, if I recall, like pretty
We were
cool.
right there. Yeah, it was beautiful. The view outside was real pretty. And we were up in a really big hotel room that had, a living room. And it was a really luxurious, for them, hotel. It was very nice. But it wasn't air conditioned or something. And so I had all the windows open, and I was, we were, your dad and I had a room, and you kids had rooms. It was pretty big, right? And then
Well, we
in
were,
the middle of the night, right? What
yeah.
happened?
What happened is me and Jay could not get to sleep. It was like me and my older brother could not go to sleep on the, and it was just so hot and sweaty, and probably we had underhydrated and were excited for moving and anxiety or whatnot. And also we were sleeping on a couch, like and there wasn't many rooms, and
Oh, I
we.
thought there were a bunch.
Well, when I was in
Bad memory.
the living area, the main
The living
area,
room?
yeah, living
Yeah.
room area, and then I saw on a shadow as I was trying to get to sleep, I saw a shadow of a person, and I just assumed that was Jay who was trying to cool down on the balcony because it was hot, and I looked over and it wasn't Jay staring back at me, but some Turkish guy, cat burglar,
Yeah.
who had landed on our lanai or the balcony, and he made eye contact with me, and then immediately you could see his eye, or I could see his eyes widen, and then he like, oh, gotta get out of here, and he hopped over the balcony down one flight onto like the roof of the neighboring building and started to run away. And that's when I said, "Mom, Mom, a burglar." And then you, even though you were dead sleeping, dead tired, you immediately opened up your eyes and screamed as loud as you could, and woke up every single person, I think, in the entire hotel that we were staying in, including the person who was right downstairs from us. It was another, I think it was another military guy, like an airman, who was shipping out the next day as well. And he saw the guy who jumped over the balcony, the cat burglar, jump over the balcony and start to run over the roof of the adjoining building. And so he stepped over his balcony to like kind of like follow him. But that was the moment that you went out to the balcony, saw this airman down there, assumed he was the cat burglar, and threw a pillow at him.
Hey, well, I didn't. That's the only weapon I had.
Yeah, it's true. I didn't nearly hit him, but it was not him who had done it. Also I recall you weren't wearing any clothes.
Right. I'm not. I normally didn't run around in front of my kids without my clothes. That wasn't
Right.
something I did. But
Yeah.
boy, I tore up there and grabbed that pillow. That was my only weapon, and I threw it. That was
Yeah.
all I could do. Well, I'm sure your father was cowered under the cowering under the bed at the time, but yeah, I was glad to leave Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, so like the day I arrive to Turkey, or the day I depart towards Turkey, the car I'm in gets vandalized, and the day that I come back, I guess accidentally prevent a cat burglary.
You
But
did, right.
do you recall though that we none of us got any more sleep that night because of that? It was obviously it was like 3 or 4 in the morning, and we were leaving on an early flight, so none of us went back to sleep, and everyone I think in the entire building was like alert and like, hey, beware. Cat burglars on the prowl. And
That was the weirdest feeling. I'd never had that happen in my life before. I didn't know what you'd do after
well
that.
the irony of everything is that the guy didn't take anything, but by the t when we got back to on the flight and then back into the States, we realized we left one of the bags on the bus, the boss
Yeah,
bag.
we were missing one of our, we had 10 bags and we came back with 9.
So we like
But
robbed ourselves.
we could never figure out what were we missing though, right?
Right,
We
it
could
was
never
something.
figure out
Whatever was
what
in
was
that
in it.
bag was gone, but it wasn't
And we
gone
never
because the
missed
cat
it.
burglar. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that was Turkey, but specifically that was Istanbul, right?
Right, and that was the only day I'd spent in Istanbul the entire 2 years is nearly got cat burglared.
What I remembered about Turkey was that there were soldiers on every corner with those automatic weapons. Remember?
Oh yeah.
It was they were having a military whatever, and the soldiers were on every corner with automatic weapons. And I never felt safe. I was afraid one of them was going to get mixed up and shoot me or something. It was really nice when that plane took off and we went wheels up out of there. It was
Yeah,
frightening.
yeah. There was a armed guard in front of our school, the Izmir American School, and I remember one time he didn't speak English, but he took a 25 TL Turkish lira coin, so it was like a quarter, only lighter weight, And
worthless.
He would flip it with his thumb, or and then he caught it on his forehead, and he would flip it back and forth. Meanwhile, he's got a machine gun on his chest, and he's doing all these tricks. And I was like, okay, you don't need to impress us.
Just watch the gun.
Yeah. All I could think of was that thing's gonna go off.
They were really young guys. They were new. What they call them? Askers, remember?
That sounds
familiar. The soldiers were called Askers, and that meant they were the lowest level of draftee, and they had to do that for years, and they were not really well trained, and that's what worried me about those guns. I was like, why do they put them out there with those guns? But they had them on every block. But back then, women in Turkey could wear normal. You remember that?
Right.
Some of them chose to wear gowns, and some of them chose to wear raincoats with scarves, but there was no law involved with that. And it was only after we left that the Muslim countries went sort of backwards and began requiring women to cover up again. But it wasn't that way when we were there. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. You still got your boob grabbed by one guy.
You saw, yeah, we were walking down the middle of the street and a little girl grabbed my boobie and then ran away, right?
Yeah. And you just let out a scream. And as a 9-year-old, I was just like, what? Why did my mom scream? And then the guy was already halfway down the street when you were like, yeah, that guy just assaulted me.
Yeah, I think that was another negative. So Turkey, I think that was another. Yeah.
I'm sure that I would like Turkey now as an adult because I love Turkish food. All the entire cuisine, I love it all. And
yeah, you do. You eat those shawarmas all the time, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and shish kebab. I mean, this pretty much all Middle Eastern food would be like Turkey's right in the middle of all of that. Like you would get the best Italian, Greek, you know, Israeli, all that food would be traveled, you know.
Yeah. Well, you have it in New York where you are, right? There are Turkish restaurants, right?
True. Yeah. But I mean, I think that I might have missed an opportunity because I was in fourth and fifth grade, so I didn't appreciate the time, you know, where I was.
Yeah.
I
was and there. Your mother was not one to introduce you to many new foods because I didn't contribute to that adventure very much.
Well, I like that you almost every pizza month.
Yeah, I have.
I appreciate you joining me on this podcast, Mom. And I think that you will probably be one of those recurring guests, whether you like it or not.
Okay, because I can tell the same stories over and over as much as you want.
The cheese.
When I'm writing my stand-up material, I use my phone's voice recognition function. So as a result, all of my jokes have at least one typo.
You've been listening to the Life of Pi podcast with your host, John Taylor. Theme song written and performed by Robin Rothman. To make sure you never miss a slice, head over to lifeofpieshow.com to subscribe.